All righty, folks. Welcome back here on Trainwreck Tonight 332. As you know, always sponsored by Outlet Liquor, the place to buy a case, George Urban Boulevard in Cheektowaga. This beautiful weather, no excuse not to get out there and make your spring quite the fling. Let's get into it, though, here on Trainwreck Tonight. Taboo Tuesday, we got back-to-back episodes, and you know we're not messing around. You know we're looking to pop a number, and there's only one man in Western New York who I feel confident in doing that right now, and it is Michael Schwartz, WKBW. How you doing, sir? Welcome to TT.
Thanks. We are popping numbers for sure. That's your line. You love saying that.
I love pop. Well, listen, I just watch you. I see you doing your thing, and absolutely. So I want to get into it, Mike, with you. Obviously, you've been grinding at WKBW for a bit. I feel like these past 6 months have been massive. You've been doing things left and right, whether it's helping out in your role in the Problem Solvers or you're jumping into the kind of the flurry, whether it's Buffalo Sports or anything like that. Yeah. So talk to me about your last 6 months and what you're aiming to do kind of going forward at WKBW.
All right, last 6 months, it's what, March? So February, January.
Yeah, back to like beginning of Bills season.
All right, yeah, there we go. Well, I mean, hey, it started off with, you know, the MetLife game. Going out there was amazing. The end result sucked, but the game was amazing. Look, here's the thing. Bottom line, right? So I've been, grew up Long Island. I'm a Giants okay. fan. I root for the Giants. I'm pretty open about that. But when you then come to Rochester, you get a little hint of Bills Mafia. Then you work in Buffalo and you get the full-on wave of Bills Mafia. Because we are an NFC team that I've always rooted for, how could you not root for the Bills? So I say that because how could you not root for their fans? And to be immersed in Bills Mafia, you guys have just accepted me. And any way I could hype you guys up is something I look forward to and is adrenaline pumping moments. I mean, this guy, we did a whole line at MetLife Stadium of people waving and whatnot. The camera went through and we organized it with hundreds of people. One guy was like, just seconds before it went on air, hey, can I lift you up? I was like, you know what? All right, fine. Be careful. And it turned into one of my favorite moments ever on TV. You guys are incredible. You're iffy, but
I am iffy. I think that's perfectly said. I would give myself the same label. And I want to talk about immersing because you're absolutely right. I see you. You're not just standing on the fringe of the Hammer lot. You're not just standing on the fringe outside of Gate 6. You get into the action, whether it's a game day tailgate, whether it's MetLife. Do you feel like that's kind of given WKBW a little bit of an advantage over the other networks? I don't want to point fingers. I don't want to say one thing or another, but I don't see two or four doing that same thing, honestly.
That's just my style. I mean, and that's kind of all of our style. We all have attitudes and personalities, not attitudes. I mean, some do have an attitude. We'll get into that in a little bit. But no, all kidding aside, we have all different personalities. And you gotta, I think, especially you can't tell a story about how immersed and crazy Bills Mafia is in a suit and tie. You just can't do that. Those days of the bunned up reporter are a little in the past. We do so amazing things with digital and that's what we do here. So anytime we can have fun with it, we realize this is a job for the community. So my mindset, every time I go to Bill's tailgate, hey, if you couldn't make it down here to Hammer's lot or to Southwestern Boulevard or MetLife Stadium or LA, where we were tailgating in Hermosa Beach, we're going to bring you to the experience. Don't just watch for an interview of me going back and forth. Let me show you how wild and crazy and energetic these fans are. So to me, they're stories that you cannot do without getting involved with it, whether it's high schools and whatnot. There's a fine line. You don't want to be the story, but you also can't report on a story without some stories without being there. Most stories you cannot report on without being immersed. And then when you get to have fun with it, being in Bills Mafia and doing things that are out of the box, like my favorite thing doing is introducing Bills Mafia right away. So that's why I kind of adopted this way of Bills Mafia. And then, you know, everyone just goes nuts because we want to show truly the best fans in the world. And not just interviews with the crowd behind. We want to show just how wild and crazy it is. And that's what we do. So that's just become my brand and having fun with it. I'm very fortunate I get to cover this team, but also tell great stories within the community. So I love covering the Bills, and I love covering Bills Mafia when I'm given those opportunities, because you guys make it so much fun.
You talking about bringing Bills Mafia to the public, I'm kind of pissed at you, because that's what I try and do with our content. So now we're competing, all right? That's all right. That's fair. That's a hey, little competition. Never hurt nobody.
Shout out to you, because people don't realize that when you are going live in like 6:02:20, I lose my voice. And if I didn't lose my voice, then it probably means I didn't do a good job. But most of the time I lose my voice because I'm yelling and trying to get hundreds of people who are drinking their Labatts and having whatever leftovers from last night in the parking lot, no matter what time it is, to get around. Like, we're going live in a minute. And I'm like, dude, Sheldon, get over here. Like, get everyone together. Like, get everyone going. And then you are helping coordinate. You're doing great stuff. So you have been a huge help. Maddie's been a huge help. Shout out to them over there. I mean,
awesome times at the game day tailgate. Listen, you picked the perfect tailgate to go to. I think you found that spot down the stretch last year, and you were, that was like Green Bay running the sweep. Like, once you found that spot, you're like, okay, now I'm just going to run the same play each time because this is success. This is working. Yeah. And hey, again, literally without sounding crazy, kudos to you, because there are networks that aren't doing that. There are reporters that aren't doing that, and it's helping you set you and WKBW apart for sure. Real quick, before we get into some problem solving, any goals for the next 6 months before Bill season?
Just telling some really cool stories that I'm in the works with, from the community to the people. I mean, again, I alluded back to it. Just continuing to showcase Buffalo. Buffalo is really special. Everyone knows that who lives here, and people who don't live here are slowly getting that. But just continuing to highlight community, and that's something that also sets us apart. I mean, we are not doing this job for ourselves. We're doing it for the community. So if you're not serving the community, then what are you doing here? So, you know, just continue to highlight the great people here, whether they wear a uniform as a first responder, whether they wear a uniform for the Bills, for the Sabres, the Bandits, whether they wear their uniform to cheer for those teams, or whether they wear their uniform to be the hardworking, badass people of Buffalo that they are. You know, we want to highlight them, and that's our goal, to bring the voice to the community, to showcase to our neighborhood.
Seriously. So, and if Schwartz isn't diving into a pile of Bills Mafia, he is solving problems around the community. As you said, a big part of the WKBW problem solvers. Talk to me about when you wake up in the morning, because you've done a huge body of work there. What do you view as your goal as a WKBW problem solver?
I wake up with my dog's face, like, basically hovering over me.
Dream.
Like a 90-pound black lab over me.
Oh,
but,
beautiful.
You know, honestly, I love what I do, but I wake up frustrated a lot. I wake up frustrated, and I'm frustrated at work. And I am, because I am so frustrated with how people are failed. I mean, landlords are continuing to fail people, and certain government officials have dropped the ball. And through our investigations, we found that. And people have called about a situation for months or years, and it just doesn't get fixed. And everyone's like, "Oh, you're a miracle." I'm not a miracle. I'm just doing the work and giving exposure to a problem. I get frustrated because I'm one person. A lot of people don't realize that I take the calls, I vet the calls, I got to make sure it's legit, or I got to, you know, call the counterpart that they're accusing. I drive to the stories, I shoot the stories, I do everything, I edit everything. And a lot of MMJs or reporters at WKBW do that. We're a very nonstop newsroom, and I couldn't be prouder of the people I work with, because I'm motivated by their work ethic. But that being said, I wouldn't have a job if people did their job. And that's frustrating to me. You know, the fact that they do have to call me as their last hope. You know, it's I get voicemails all the time, and I wake up to that people are crying to me on the phone, whether it's in person or they leave a message. You know, like, people, there's this one woman I did a story with, there's rats in her walls. Well, the landlord, the company is just, you know, no comment to me. What do you mean no comment? Are you kidding me? Like, who in their right mind just lets people live like this. A landlord once handed me rat traps to give to his tenant. I said, are you kidding me? You know, that shouldn't own a blade of grass in the city. And there is just, this is all over. So just to be clear.
Yeah, you're not talking about, believe me, anyone who's seen Schwartz's timeline, he's not talking about one housing, like, you know, unit or whatever. This is happening all over the place.
All over. It has just become so apparent to me, the ugly truth of socioeconomics. And that is a really big concern to me. And that's what pushing me to keep going, you know, for these people. I mean, there is very real proof that if you don't have money, you're not the first priority. And that is the truth. It is so clear, and it is disgustingly clear. And that aggravates me. It aggravates me a lot. And this is a problem all across the country. That's a problem all across the world. But the people that do some of these jobs have so little care. When I speak to them, and I get so frustrated. So I'm overwhelmed and inundated with calls. I have dozens of calls. I'm the only one that's continuously erasing phone calls. It's just voice messages. Once I take the message, I should say, I erase voice messages once I take the calls. But
of course,
it's just, you know, we are here for you. And Problem Solvers really is not just me. Yes, it's my franchise, but we're doing that across the board. Jeff Russo just did an amazing story with that woman. The snow was dumped in her driveway and they had it removed. That was huge. Everyone in this newsroom technically solves problems every day. I just have the weekly franchise. It's frustrating. I mean, we're here for you. We're your voice. That's what sets Seven News apart. But, you know, it's frustrating that it has to be like this. It's frustrating that I live in a property that the landlord is incredible, absolutely incredible. And I'm like, why shouldn't it be any different? So it's tough. And sometimes you can't believe the calls that you hear. But
listen, I think that just anybody who listens to you there, you can hear the passion that you have for it. And that means everything. Like, let's face it. If, you know, you weren't getting frustrated, I don't think those people would be getting solutions. So at the end of the day, obviously, thank you for that and appreciate that. I want to talk about just one quick story in our community before we wrap it up here with you and send you on your way. There was news a couple weeks ago. A young woman hit by a car on the expressway. There was some, you know, there are a lot of details coming out at different times, a lot of details, you know, some contradicting the other. So if you follow the story, obviously, you know, the family is upset. They want answers. Uber is kind of undecided from what I've seen so far. I'm wondering if you have any update on that story or just anything that you could share maybe with people, because I know there hasn't really been a news or anything update in a couple of weeks here.
So I just emailed Uber actually again today. They've been very good at responding. They have not. The last update was the driver of this Uber, and we'll get to the story in a minute. The driver of this Uber was removed from the platform as the investigation was ongoing. That was about a week and a half ago. I emailed them this morning to see what's the latest. I spoke to the family of 21-year-old Chardé Nunez, who was, they told me, was coming back from work. You know, it was 6 o'clock during the week at night about that time. And they told me, this is what they said, that she was in the Uber FaceTiming, and she was FaceTiming a cousin or a relative, and something happened where they lost connection. Well, anyway, from what we have from police is Cheektowaga police say that she climbed out of the window of the moving Uber on the 33, right as if you're leaving the airport by Cayuga. And she fell out of the vehicle as it was moving and then was hit by another car. It's even when that report came in our morning meeting, we're all kind of looking at each other saying that's very odd. You know, something doesn't make sense. And then we're speaking to police. The thing about it is with family and friends who are devastated, they held a balloon rally a balloon release a week, about 2 weeks ago. And the Cheektowaga Police Department was amazing. They basically, they definitely didn't want people on the 33 doing this because it was unsafe, but they ended up actually closing part of the 33.
Yeah. I'm right for a period.
It was incredible. And the police were even so, the officers on scene were so, hey, if you need a few minutes to say a prayer while you're here, you know, let's do that, whatever you need. And they gave them time to release balloons in the air. There's actually some concern that because it was so close to the airport, if it would be an issue with planes coming in. Anyway, they released a lot of balloons. There was gold in there. From my understanding, sure, they loved those colors of gold. And there, I think there were silvers in there, the balloons, and they released. And there was such an outpouring of support. But they told me that I spoke to a very close relative, and they said the details don't add up. And why would she just jump out of an Uber? A cousin who came up from another state said that she had to have been in trouble. So Cheektowaga police, as of right now, their investigation says that they have all the cars involved. The Uber driver has cooperated from the start. Uber tells me that the driver has been removed from the platform. That's procedural as the investigation is continuing. But the family says there's something not adding up of she just climbing out the window of a vehicle. There had to be some threat. So they're still looking for answers. And based on their information they're giving us, we're looking to see what that is. That's why I'm still reaching out to Uber. I mean, Cheektowaga police did their investigation, but there is still answers that we as the media are looking for. One family member told me that she broke her nose, I believe, in a car crash. She was involved in some type of car crash not too long ago. And they said she would never be in a moving car without her seatbelt. So
yeah,
it's very tough. It's so unfortunate. She was such a vibrant soul. And that's that. It's the worst. When you see people on their worst days, it's the toughest part of this job. So that's why it's so rewarding to see people on their best days, going back to, you know, immersed in Bill's Mafia. So that's why, you know, you have people with so much happiness. You give them extra energy. But seeing people on their worst days is so awful. She just celebrated her 21st birthday. She went, I think it was Jamaica or one of the islands. She was just on vacation and she came back. She was working. She wanted to be she wanted to work in the dental industry. There's still a lot of questions, I would say, but
can I get two real quick? Cause I know we're running low on time here. I just wanted to do two things. First of all, one thing I want to clarify for people, cause you know, they may be hearing about this story for the first time. They may have only heard whispers. A big thing that gets said or has been commented a lot is that was there potentially like she under the influence of alcohol? Was there some like drugs involved? But the key detail that a lot of people, you know, who just see the, you know, the headline or whatever, she was coming directly from work, right? This was an Uber that she got right from her workplace. So that almost negates that entirely.
Like I said, it wasn't on a Friday at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And there was no mention of any alcohol or whatnot. It's a lot of questions. But again, the main thing is that family members say there was a reason she was trying to get out of the vehicle. They believe that she was fearing for her life, that something in that vehicle made her want to escape more than just a woman climbs out of an Uber or just falls out of an Uber.
You're right. It's not just plain and simple. It's not one thing that doesn't make sense in this case. It's about 3 to 5 things. One last thing that I just want to ask you, because I've seen this in the comments as well. So I'm just very curious if you've had any insight into this. There is like comments that initially when this happened, police weren't able to find this Uber, that he was kind of like incognito for a little bit. Now they say that he's cooperated the entire time since he's come forward, obviously. Were you familiar? Was there a period in this case where they were looking for him, they weren't able to find him, or is that kind of internet conjecture?
I've not heard that.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah, I mean, from Cheektowaga police, they tell me this woman, Sharday, who police haven't identified, but the family says 21-year-old Sharday Nunez. Police said she climbed out of an Uber backseat window. She climbed out of a window for Uber as it was moving on the 33, fell to the road. Another car came by and tragically hit her. There's no mention of alcohol. There's no mention of any non-cooperating police. I was speaking to them as soon as possible, and they told me that the Uber driver stayed on the scene, and that within the first few days, they told me that they have all vehicles involved in this situation. Then I think the following week where they said the Uber driver he cooperated. Everyone stayed on scene. But again, so according to Uber and according to police, the driver cooperated. But again, still a lot of questions. I think the biggest thing is just to pray for this family. That's tragic.
1,000, first and foremost, like not thoughts or words, but just prayers and positivity to the Nunez family. Nobody wants to ever go through this. It's obviously a nightmare for them. And you hope that at the end of the day that everything will just be kind of not solved, but just figured out in this, and not closure, but this, that there will be reasoning behind exactly what happened. So hopefully more things will come out in this case. And we appreciate you obviously covering that. Appreciate you staying a little bit late on this recording as well. I know I'm probably going to have to call your agent. Messaging me right now. But let's get into it. What's going on at the tail end? We got to do this. I do Vanderpump Power Rankings every Tuesday, but we are going to do WKBW Power Rankings. This isn't about an article. This isn't about who got the most views. This is about when you're walking through the WKBW newsroom, who's got the most swagger. So we got Matt Beauvais. We got yourself, Schwartz. We got relatively newbie to WKBW, Michael Wooten. We got Jeff Russo. We got Ed Drench. And then we got Taylor Epps. So I feel like we got a nice combo here. Give me your 1 through 6. Who's got the most swagger walking through the WKBW newsroom?
Let me check if Taylor could hear me real quick. She's not in the newsroom. The door's closed. By the way, shout out to our newsroom.
Oh, live. Look at this.
Yeah, live. Check out the newsroom.
Look at that. Yep. We're grinding.
We don't stop. The vibes don't stop. The grind doesn't stop. All right. Look, I'm a big Beauvais fan. Wooten is a veteran, an amazing guy. Hilarious guy. Russo is just class act funny. We sit next to each other. He's someone I've developed a really close relationship with. Same thing with Ed Drench, my Jewish brother. Ed Drench is like the Ari Gold in Entourage. You know?
Oh, wow.
He gets stuff done. And Taylor Epps, she just threatens me every day.
Okay.
In the nicest way possible.
So she might be number one then. I mean, if you're walking on eggshells around that WKBW newsroom, if Taylor Epps is there.
This is based on swagger?
Yes, swagger in the newsroom.
All right, Taylor Epps is number one. Damn it. I mean, like, she insults me every day. We really have a hate, some love relationship. All right, fine, Taylor, I'll give it to you. All right, Taylor's number one, Beauvais number two. Russo is number three. Wooten Drench are pretty close. I'm going to go Drench just because he's been here long. Seven, but Wooten has been an incredible resource. And
I'm surprised the Woot Dog is so low on these rankings. Sounds like he's humble and hungry over at WKBW.
He is so humble, and he's hilarious, and he like brings this new energy into our newsroom, and he's just hit the ground running. Not that anyone ever doubted that with his past success. But he probably, of all these things, Wooten would be number one for well-dressed. Look, I think I have swagger. I think I got some good fashion and some good jokes here and there. But I can't put myself anywhere above these people. So Epps, but really I'd put maybe Beauvais first. Sorry, Taylor. But I'm just saying Taylor just for the PR. I'm just saying
Taylor Epps is really the break point of this whole rankings for you.
I am just saying Taylor for the PR, people. Taylor Epps, all jokes aside, Taylor Epps, Beauvais, Russo, Drench, Wooten, and then me.
You're too humble. I'm putting you in the middle there. I'm moving down Wooten, humble and hungry. He might be winning awards. He might be cashing checks, but he's down low on the rankings.
All these people, you would have a great time getting a beer with. All of these.
That I agree with. Taylor's the only one I haven't really met extensively, but I based on your
genuine laughter, energy, down to earth, real people, every single one of them, and just about every single one in this newsroom, everyone in this newsroom. I don't have a problem with anyone here.
Hey, I love that. Speaking of getting a beer and speaking of keeping it real, yeah. March 17th, is it?
16th.
We'll be 16th. Okay, March 16th, Banshee yeah. Irish Pub, 1 to 5 p.m. that day.
1 to 5 p.m. We got the huge room donated to us by the Banshee for my Leukemia and Lymphoma Society fundraiser. It's in memory of my best friend, Michael Kaminskis, who would have loved your show. He passed away at the age of 25 in 2019 after a long battle with AML, acute myeloid leukemia. I was nominated to this 10-week campaign. I got team members across the country in LA, in Albany, downstate. We're all doing different things. So I'm using my resources to do charity events over this 10 weeks until May 3rd. The Banshee, we were talking for a while. They're donating their time, allowing us to have this amazing event out here. I can't say enough about the Banshee. We are able to throw a party. So we want to use this party and the energy of the weekend and the opportunity it could give to us as the to raise money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society to help many people. We want to set it off. So we want this to be a banger. We want this to be the Buffalo Day drink, St. Patty's Day weekend. Second floor of the Banshee, $15 entry, gets you a beer, a seltzer, or a mixed drink. We got DJ. We got Josh Allen signed jersey. New Era donated a 32-set hat. You win this raffle. $5 to enter. You get a hat from every NFL team from their 5950 on the field's collection. So it's there's really sick prizes, and it's going to be a time, Buffalo. So bring the party that we had over the football season to the Banshee on the 16th. How was that spiel?
I love that spiel. Having a good time with good people, with good drinks for a good cause doesn't get more Buffalo and Bills Mafia than that. Oh. Huge shout out. And for a good cause, of course. And Schwartzy, thanks for hopping along on us here with the train.
Hey, buddy. I'll see you at Fally Allen sometime, all right?
See you at Fally Allen. Make sure to have a good night now, sir.
We'll talk to you soon. See you, buddy.
Later. All right, folks. Welcome back here on Trainwreck Tonight, 3:32 Taboo Tuesday, sponsored by Outlet Liquor, your place to buy a case this and every day of March Madness. And speaking of madness, our next guest, we're about to get into it. This is going to be a deadline of madness. This is going to be an offseason of madness. It's going to be a finish of madness, however it goes, for the Buffalo Sabres. Let's bring him on at this time. Chad DeDominicis. Oh, I just scored that a little bit, but welcome to the show of Expected Buffalo, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be okay. Back again.
Of course. I think this is your triple crown appearance, if I know correctly. I think you did one Studio D, one digital mm-hmm. before this, and then this is your third. So obviously appreciate you taking the dive with us. With that said, I do have to do a quick disclaimer. Chad's people called over and they made sure this is being recorded Monday at 6:23 p.m. on March 4th, 2024. So if he says anything that is not 100% accurate, it's the time factor, folks. Okay.
100%.
So give into it.
100%.
But that is all the point here, Chad. We were getting into this. I was looking forward to recording today because I'm like, oh, we got a nice little palette of topics to go over for 10 to 15 minutes here. And then in my mind, we get a nuke in the Sabres universe. and that is that Lindy Ruff has been fired 145 days after he signed his extension with New Jersey. He is back onto the job market. So with that said, I'll keep it short and concise for you. Is this a story for the Sabres? And on a scale of 1 to 10, I mean, how much should this be considered going into the offseason for Buffalo?
Oh, man. It's a story for the Sabres because of who it is. I think that is the only reason it would be. So I don't want to say it's not. But in terms of how reasonable should it be considered, I don't think personally it should be considered that much. Like, I have nothing against Lindy Ruff. He was a great coach for the Sabres for a long time. I think still has some things that he can get done in today's NHL. But this is now, you know, the third stop or second stop, Dallas and then New Jersey, that hasn't worked out. So I don't know if Granato's going to go. I don't know if I need to go back and turn the clock back on this. I think I would want to find a different route. Maybe, finding a younger person is always a great idea with a different outlook, a different mindset. But it depends. I think if they're going to do something with their next coach, and it's not to say that Ruff isn't you know, somebody who's won a lot of games, because he has, is one of the most winning coaches in the NHL. But I think he wants somebody who has that kind of pedigree, right? Who has the playoff pass yesterday as an outside possibility this could happen. If Lindy Ruff wants to come back to Buffalo and be an assistant to Granato, so as an option, maybe as a veteran, if Granato goes, sure, fine. You could do that. Or maybe a front office thing. You always talked about wanting to be in the front office too. But in terms of the next head coach, I'm not really feeling it.
I'm a guy who loves living in the past. I'm like a lot of Buffalo sports fans who would like re-welcome any past. Like, you know, I think we love that more than any like fan base, yeah, for sure. And I know you have a lot of experience dealing with fan bases across the board. But with that said, I'm actually closer to you on this, where I think ultimately you should look at like the reality of the situation, that it hasn't worked out in other stops and everything. Now, my one spin zone on it, where I do get excited about it, and I have to admit, is that I do think if I had to sum up Lindy Ruff as a coach to someone, I would say he's a really tough guy who can generate some good offensive flow and can teach his team to be gritty. And from what I've seen the team this past season, that feels like it might be really good in this spot. That's my only thing that kind of gets me at the heart, because that's my feeling. I don't know, am I off base, or am I half and half there, you think?
I think you're half and half there. Here's the thing to think about. New Jersey was always seen as the team who is, they're one step ahead of Buffalo, right? That's where they wanted to be. Like, the Sabres wanted to have the New Jersey season that they had last year.
Yes.
And I guess you could say, for a team that wants to get to that spot, do you want to bring in the coach that just failed to do that in a similar position with a similar type team that succeeds in similar things? Now, on the flip side of it, he had some of the worst goaltending this season, maybe like in a long time. Like, I watched that Kings game and it was pretty rough. So that is something to consider in that. But I still think overall, there's just, I don't know. It was the same thing when he went to Dallas. He couldn't get them to that next step. And we're looking, you know, if we're going to move on from Granato, we're looking for that coach to take it to the next step. And I don't know if he has that ability anymore.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense for sure. Honestly, not surprising coming from expected Buffalo's, what was it? Czar. Yes. I think that's fair to say. with that said, look, talk to me here, because the Sabres season is on life support, needless to say, especially after that Jets outcome. May have gotten a little boost of the Jets outcome, but definitely on life support at this point. With that said, you know, when that tends to happen, especially with Buffalo sports, especially with how passionate we are, I think we like saw it kind of in November too. A lot of like reasons and scapegoats and everything is kind of flying all over. There's a lot of hot button topics, almost more so than any point in the year, when things start to really go wrong or things start to kind of flail here at the end. You know, despite them playing well, obviously, we know it's the fall that buried them. But with that said, with all those opinions flying around, I want to ask you, because you're kind of based in the data and you're kind of able to formulate like kind of just this clear vision. What do you see as maybe like the biggest misconception among Sabres fans? And again, not all fans, but maybe just the biggest one out there right now.
Man, that was a tough one. I really thought about this like when you gave us the topics, and I'm still having a hard time with it. Misconception. Because really, if you would have asked me this a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I would have said it's that they're not scoring that many goals. Because they were still one of the top 10 teams at 5-on-5 scoring. The power play's been pretty atrocious, and it's flipped now. Their power play is scoring goals, yeah, but now at 5-on-5, they're having trouble. And now they've dipped down to, as of last night, we were talking about it, they were 15th in the league at 5-on-5 scoring, and they were third last year. So it's taken a pretty big dip. Beyond that, I don't really know there's a misconception out there right now. Maybe if you want to go, there's people who say they still can't play defense, and I think that probably isn't fair. Okay. I think they've been pretty, I guess I want to use my words carefully here, they've been average to maybe slightly above average defensively overall. It's been a drastic improvement over last year. And I think that's one of the reasons we're seeing improvement in Lukanen's numbers, besides he found some magic dust and he's who he is now.
I was going to say, we need more of it. If that's what happened. So real quick, let me put your feet to the fire here then.
Okay. Go ahead.
This has been a point that's been discussed as well. What's more sustainable, or I guess what, like, is this brand of hockey they've played this year, ultimately, once the scoring returns, like you say, become more consistent, especially with the power play, is this a sustainable Like should Sabres fans almost look back on this season potentially and be like thankful, like this is when we taught our like core to play defense and like lock it down potentially for the future, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah. Okay. I would think that is fair. But what comes with that is the offensive generation in terms of shot quality has to come back. If you can only play this style while not creating offense, well then no. Because we really haven't seen a consistent point at any time this season, even on this run that they're on now, where they've been able to game in, game out, multiple games, create quality offense, and reduce chances against. It's usually one or the other, or you'll have a game like Vegas where you get that, but it's one out of every 10 or 11. It's just not consistent. So I think that's the biggest thing. You know, even when it falls on Granato to get that type of consistency. And if you can't do both, well, then no, it's not sustainable. But if you can add that offense to it, even just turn the dial up a little bit, then yeah, I think you're in more sustainability territory.
Okay. I like that. At least that's something for Sabres fans to hang their hat on. Real quick, give me your opinion and then give me what you've seen from fans, because I know you have like, you know, your own Discords and stuff or whatever, but you're literally no, I think you get the most interaction out of any Sabres members. No, so it's awesome to see. I love watching someone who gets a lot of energy because you're just seeing so many opinions, so much craziness. And I love what you picked to respond to, of course, there. So with that said, for you, what was more frustrating? 22-23 as a whole with kind of like the mess of goalies, no defense, tons of scoring, tons of excitement, or 23-24 where it was kind of just like a lobotomy from September, from October to December and kind of like more fun in the second half here?
No, it's been this season, hands down. Okay. It's been a challenge to get through this season. Really, to be perfectly honest, it's probably in the – I think I'm doing this for 8 years now. This might be the most challenging season to just push through because of where the expectations were. And even like I questioned if they were going to be a playoff team before the season started. I thought they'd be similar to what they were last year. But they're not even that. You know, they're on pace for around 80 points right now, which is really disappointing. So it's been tough. Thankfully, the chart has given me life to kind of get back into this and try to have some excitement here. And the altar, right? And the altar. That coming out is being a thing. So the altar and the chart have given me life. So, and plus a trade deadline, right? So that's fun.
I was going to say,
this week, that's fun.
Like that, no matter what, this gets your blood going for sure with the trade deadline. So talk to me. If you're Kevin, what would be one move you would make? And ultimately, what do you think is going to happen over these? And so this will be airing on Tuesday again. Okay. So there'll be about 3 days between then and the trade deadline.
So Nashville stole my move by re-signing Tommy Novak. So that was my fun move. So that's off the board now. I don't know. Cause that it's hard. Anthony and I really tried yesterday to think of an interesting topic to talk about in terms of a player they can go after, and we really just can't find anybody that makes sense, that's realistic. I don't know. You want to get crazy and go try to get St. Louis to trade you Pavel Buchnevich and get him to waive. Sure, that's a fun, crazy idea. Warren Fogle, somebody I kicked around from Edmonton, if they're going to dump him to get cap space to go chase a bigger fish, maybe you can make that work. But same thing. I mean, he's an unrestricted free agent. So what do you want to pay there if he's not going to resign? Or do you bring him here and try to get him to resign? I don't know. I mean, the thing that I think is always that I keep in my back pocket, which is fun with this team, is Adams seems to always, in his staff, pull some random thing you weren't expecting. I don't know. We're like, oh, where did that guy come from? You know, kind of Stillman last year, or, you know, even in the offseason, whoa, Eric Johnson, didn't see that coming. When I try to look for ideas, I try that. I try to dig deep and look for something that you might not think about. So I don't know. We might get that thing that we didn't expect the guy to be available, and there he is. I mean, that was a few times last year in defenseman. You know, Hronek went to Vancouver. Nobody expected him to be available. Sandin went to the Capitals. That was kind of unexpected. We don't see that very much at the deadline. So maybe that type of thing happens, just a guy we don't know about, and he pops in there. But beyond that, I think realistically that I can probably say – I can say for sure, I'm pretty sure Eric Johnson is going. The return on that's not going to be anything crazy, you know, to write home about, but I'm pretty confident that'll happen. And then I would say the thing I'm most confident about next, and it's nothing more than a gut feel, is that I think Oposo is probably going to go too. It just feels that way in terms of how he has talked, the smoke that's out there. And then I think also just from a team transition standpoint, you know, it's the changing of the guard, if you will. You know, once he goes, it becomes Rasmus Dahlin's team. And I think doing that kind of in the middle of the season instead of in the summer, so he can establish that over the last quarter of the season to have Dahlin kind of be the go-to voice, you know, might be good for them and that locker room and that team overall heading into next season.
Seriously, that would really be a new era Buffalo Sabres. No disrespect to the company, obviously. Well, hey, thank you for joining me, Chad. Obviously, oh, wait, we got two little things here left, two little tidbits. right now, Monday, 2% playoff odds on Money Puck. Too high, too low, or just right?
Just right.
Okay, that's what I thought we were going to get. and then talk to me, though, real quick, because I know you've been, you know, expected Buffalo eighth year. Or, well, not as expected Buffalo, but along the way, no. Obviously. But talk to me, like, I know, you know, like, it says a lot that you guys have power through this, because I think that a normal, like, person would have been broken by this team somewhere along the way. So obviously, kudos to you and your team over there. But anything fans can expect to see in the future, maybe something that we're working on down the pipeline?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a busy week. We already have I have a lot in the pipeline already for this week in terms of trade stuff, and that'll be fun to dive into when some things happen here. So really this week is kind of being on your toes because anything can happen anytime. So it's don't go anywhere without the phone far away from you week. So we'll see kind of what happens off of that. Then beyond that, you know, it gets to trying to keep the energy alive as long as the chart makes sense and try to have fun with that and see if we can evaluate this team. And then if they get out of it, then, you know, we bring our prospect guy in and you see a little bit more of us on our podcasts and articles. And we start talking about the draft, get ready for free agency, which I think we're pretty good at. You know, we do free agency player guides and we do trade possibilities of every team usually. So we have some fun with that. And thankfully the Sabres give us a lot of time to do all that because they're out of the picture so early usually. But that'll be something, you know, we'll start to get rolling here over the next few months.
Hey, listen, you got my sign off. I you know, all respect to Maintenance Day, Lazowski, everyone. XB is the one podcast. All 75 minutes I downed this morning, whether it was happy nice. About it or I wasn't. So let's go. Thank you, Chad, for coming on and joining us on here on TT 332. Make sure to go have a good night now, sir.
Thank you.